21st of December, 71. Right, and beginning to visit Mr. Eastman this Tuesday afternoon, 21st of December, 71. Channel 2 right, and beginning to visit Mr. Eastman this Tuesday afternoon, 21st of December, 71.
Oh, will it have to have a chain on it?
Well, you gotta have a chain.
I got a sheet yesterday. So, Mr. Eastman, let me ask you. Now, this information, this is valuable to me. Out here in the country, the fella got a trailer, and come a storm, and it knocked out his half of his breaker box, or at least one part of it. That's got the electric heater and some lights on it. Now, the rest of it works. And he tried to put in a new breaker and it wouldn't work. So there's something wrong in there. Does that sound like he just needs a whole new breaker box?
Well, not necessarily. No, it's the chances are, what breaker did he try to put in, a smaller one or the main breaker? Chances are the main breaker is gone.
Well, most of the house works, you see. Most of the trailer works. It's just some of it that won't. And part of it is electric water heater.
Well, then you see the thing of it is that there's one side. 110 you ain't getting.
Yeah.
Chances are either his main breaker is burned out on one side.
Oh, is that possible?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh. Well, now, let me tell you, they're right poor out there, and they can't afford to, call somebody from Ocala. And, it's out there just about a little past Shiloh Church. No trouble going out there. I was just thinking if it's ever, if you ever had a little slack time, we could go out there and fix it or look at it. And if we could fix it, all right. If we didn't, all right. But there's no hurry about it. He's been putting up with it. They put up with it all this time. Just so you don't get some more of these people from Michigan coming down here that you got to have front porches.
There's one down there that I jump and come up here to get away from. I tell you, he's from Ohio, from Toledo, Ohio. He's a Polack. He's retired, and I guess he's got plenty of money. Well, I went up there, and they called up Subby. They've got a lavatory, and I think that the lavatory fitting has got a sand hole in it. See,
oh.
A lot of times you'll run into them, you know. It's nothing that the manufacturer can be held responsible for or anything, because it's just in there, that's all, and they didn't know it when they let it go out. But after a while, it'll get worked through so it'll leak. Well, now that's leaking right up, same as your fitting sets on the top of your sink like that, see? And under the bottom, here's where your water pipe goes up here and one over here. Well, right where this little round hole is in your lavatory here that your pipe comes down through, geez, you can see the water just coming right around that fitting, coming right out, see? So that I think there's a sand hole in it. Well, that doggone woman, she wanted me to fix it right Sunday, right off right there then. I said, geez, you're going to have a new fitting on there. Well, then you get it the first thing in the morning. I says, if it's a good day tomorrow morning, I got something else to do. But I says, if it rains in the morning, I might come. I'm going to have that done tomorrow. I ain't going to mop up any more water. Well, then I said, you find somebody else to do it. Well, who am I going to find? I don't know. You can call all of Ocala or Gainesville. I don't care. She made me kind of provoked, you know, because she says, I'm going to have it done in the morning. Well, I've got an idea. When it started raining this afternoon, she'd be calling my wife and giving her blazes because I wasn't down there. See? Well, I told my wife, I said, I'm going to call Miles, and if they're home, I'm going to slide up there and see.
Now, what is that little jigger that you got out of there? It wasn't just a regular...
Oh, that washer, you mean?
Yeah.
That's what they call a fuller ball.
Fuller ball.
Mm-hmm. They used to have faucets, and they had them for sinks and lavatories and bathtubs and everything. All had them fuller balls on there, see? And they went like this, and when you turned the handle, it had an eccentric on it. See, it pulled that out and in.
Yeah.
See? Well, then you had to take that faucet apart and get this out and take that nut off in the end, take the old fuller ball off, put a new one on. But they've done away with them.
Mm-hmm.
See, I hadn't seen one in probably 12, 15 years.
And you plumbers never heard of one.
I don't believe it.
Fuller ball.
Another thing they used a lot of up home there was lead pipe, and he'll, you say anything about lead pipe down here, and they stand and look at you, what's that?
That's
yeah, what's that?
Down here, then Lane, Bessie, she had a fireplace up until this year, you see, she kept that going 24 hours a day. And James got so no counts, you see, he couldn't get wood up there to her. I never heard of anybody so no count they couldn't get some wood, you see. The people just got it and just tried to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Anyhow, and then Clyde gave her a central heater. What do you call it?
Kerosene heater.
Kerosene heater, a big one. Circulator. And I tell you, it's more than she needs. You see, now I took a look in there, and I thought I'd dry it out with you, and we just look at it. Well, I think it's got a burner in there this long. Is that possible?
An oil heater?
Yes, kerosene heater.
Well, ain't it a pot burner?
No.
It ain't a...
I don't think it is. That's what I want to see. Well, anyhow, as low as she can turn it, it's too hot.
Yeah.
And, of course, the weather's been warm. But even cool weather, I think it'd still be too warm for down there. I don't think there's anything she can do about it. They just got too big a heater. He just gave it to her. And she thought that's nice and put it in. And it's just going to break her up, you see, on the on that kerosene. Once it starts cold weather.
Who did you say it was?
Right down here at the end of the lane.
Oh.
Yeah.
She can't put just a piece of paper in it and light it. She has to take the thing out, she says. Anyway, she doesn't turn it off.
Yeah.
She's afraid it turned off. Too much trouble turned off. I see this one, no trouble turned off. Light it.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
You know, they had a funny one down there at Orange Lake. Saturday, there was a pair of dogs running around. One of them was a little light-colored dog, wouldn't stand only about that high and just about that long. Kind of a, well... about between that color and that there. He was kind of a cream colored little fella. And And the other was, you know what them toy shepherds are?
No.
Well, they're like a shepherd dog, only just about half as big.
Yeah, I've seen one.
There's another name for them too, but I can't think what it is. Well, they was running around together, and somehow they went across the road, and the little light-colored one didn't make it. He got killed. Well, I don't know whether he got thrown out to the side of the road or whether somebody dragged him out of the road or what, but he laid there on the side of the road, and this other dog laid right down the side of it. Well, Saturday night, we put on that supper down there, and I was back and forth by it 3-4 times, and that black dog laid right there beside that other one. Well, Sunday morning, I had to kind of clean up over there to the clubhouse and one thing and another, and I went over, and she was still laying there. She'd laid there all night, side of that dead dog. Well, I come back home, and I got thinking, and my brother-in-law come over, and I tell him about it, and he says, where is it? And I said, down there. I said, I'm going to get the shovel and go down and bury that dog. So I took the shovel out of my truck and I went down. And as I walked up toward the dog with the little shepherd dog, he backed up, you see, and backed up, oh, maybe 10, 12 feet. Well, I dug a hole and I buried the dog in there. I didn't bury it too deep, but buried it. Cause I don't like to see him stinking in one thing or another side of the road. I buried this dog in there, and I started to back away from it, you know, and as I started to back away, the other dog come up. Well, I got back about 15, 20 feet. The other dog come up there, and he smelled all around. He smelled where the dog had laid and went over there, and he smelled all around where I had dug and buried him. Pretty soon, he started digging right down. He dug down to where that dog was. And I says to my brother-in-law, and my neighbor up there, Elmo Johnson, he'd come along down. I said, Jesus, that dog's going to dig that other one up. And I hadn't the more than said that, and he stopped digging, and he smelled around down in there. And I suppose he was satisfied that I had buried that dog. And here's the funny part of it. That dog turned around and put that dirt back in that hole that he dug. Now that's almost unbelievable that that dog would do that. And after he put that down in there, he's done like that a couple times on it.
Sort of panicked.
The damn dog turned and run off up in the back of the restaurant, up went back up that back road. And by God, you know, I pretty near cried.
Well, of course.
And half of the time when I think about it, by Jesus, you know, I pretty near cried over that dog. And it wasn't no dog. Now I don't know who the dogs belonged to. Whether they belong to one family or neighbors or whether they're from one direction, one another.
Let me tell you, I was out here and some dogs was barking down here and hunting. You know, they just love to get out and hunt. And time I got on there, I generally shoot at them. I don't kill them, but I just shoot at them, you know, because I don't want them to run off the birds out there. And, you know, the big blue herons and things like that. I went down there and I saw them. They was way over there in the middle of the field. One great big old long-legged dog and one little bitty fella. And they were just knocking along there together, you see, and smelling of everything along there. I started shooting at them with that little target I got. And it don't come close enough to them, you see. All they could do was hear it, and finally I must have got pretty close to them, because they looked over that torches, and there they went. They trotted off together, their ears flapping, you see, just buddies out there hunting, wasn't hurting anybody, and they wondered why in the world somebody was causing them all that trouble.
No, but you know, up home, they always claimed that a little dog and a big dog traveling together was always the ones that done damage. That is to stock and one thing or another.
Tell her we'll call her back, Faye, because I want to talk to her.
Well, you get around there and we'll stop over and see.
Tell her we'll call her back.
Are you going to be at home? Well, let me call you back.
Yes. Go ahead, Ricky.
I said you get around there and we'll go over and stop and see that.
Yeah, I want to hear what you're going to say.
I don't know what I was going to say there.
About them dogs over there.
Oh, well, the dogs. You take one little dog and a big dog traveling together. They're generally the ones that get chasing sheep or calves or something like that. I know up home there one time, Jesus, I was out hunting and I heard them dogs were barking, and by God, they had a heifer just about run down. Well, you know, I shot the big dog, see?
Yeah.
Jesus, did I get held for that? And by God, I took the fellow that owned the dog right up there in the lot, and I showed him the heifer and right where everything had happened, and he was still mad at me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another thing. If you let them get started on the place, first thing you know, they'll be ganging up.
Yeah.
And you just don't want them to... I don't mind them hunting, you know, that's all right. They wasn't doing any harm. I went over and saw your old friend the other day, and we had a nice visit.
Who's that?
Old Joe Odom.
Old Joe Odom?
Yes.
Joe's all right. You know, everybody likes Joe, but Bill don't nobody like.
Well, that's the trouble. They've left the church down there.
Yeah.
As on Bill's account.
Yeah.
Well, what is it wrong with Bill?
They left that church there and they went over to Citra, and now they've left the Citra church and ain't going anywhere. So I was told the other day. Now that's all I know about it.
Well, now he showed me a piece of furniture, because I brought it up, he didn't.
Yeah.
And he was remaking a piece of furniture out there, and he said, now I want to show you something. So he went into that room there where he stores all that stuff, and he brought out a high chair with red stuff on it. And he had rigged it up where things would slide back and forth on it, and he held it up on the bottom, and it said, from Mr. and Mrs. Joe Odom to the Citra Baptist Church. And I said to him, well, what have you lost over at the Citra Baptist Church? Well, I used the wrong word. Because he didn't catch it. I said, how come you over to the Citra Baptist Church? And he told me that his brother had, it didn't sound like much trouble they'd had.
Well, I think that when you come right down to it, I think that Bill Odom is nuts. I think he's off in his rocker, because I'll tell you, he's too religious. He goes around half of the time carrying the Bible with him, and if anybody will listen to him, you read it to him, well, you know, anybody like that is just a little bit off in their rocker.
He does.
Yeah.
Well, now, all that Joe said passed between him and the superintendent over the Sunday school there was, this woman that did the cleaning hadn't been paid, and this Bill's wife came to him and said the woman wanted to pay. And he said to her, he says, I don't have any responsibility about paying all this stuff, and anyhow, he says, you and your husband have been trying to run this place ever since you got here. Now, according to him, that's all they said. Well, that ain't very much, is it?
Well, who was the fellow that they were talking to, Frank Williams?
He said, but I don't remember who he said. I would remember Frank Williams. He was superintendent or something like that. No, I don't know.
I think Frank Williams is a superintendent over there.
Well, see.
But you know, Frank Williams and fellow's name now. Oscar Lott. Oscar Lott was on the board of trustees of the church. And he and Frank got in an argument. And Oscar dared Frank to come out of doors that he'd maul him up. Indeed, they had a heck of a set-to there. And I don't know whether Oscar got kicked out of the church or whether he left. But he got done with the Baptist church in Orange Lake anyway.
You know, that's... I never was, you know, associated with the Baptist. But the impression I always had was that the Baptists got along. The Methodists might fall out and people like that, but the Baptists hung together.
Yeah.
But that's, that don't sound like it, does it?
They don't, any of them hang together now, I'll tell you.
They used to do better.
They used to, years ago when I was a boy, the whole family went to church together.
Yes.
Take it now. They get up on a Sunday morning. The oldest boy, he's got to have the family car, if he ain't got one of his own, to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Somebody comes and gets the girl to go somewhere. And that leaves the rest of them kind of stranded, don't you see?
Yeah.
Well, now that's the reason that they don't go to the church.
Yeah. You know, one thing about Joe Odom. You see, I went over there with you 2 or 3 times. And this is the first time I ever went by myself.
Yeah.
But every time I've been over there now, he got something going.
Yeah. Oh, he's tinkering all the while.
Yeah. Now,
fixing up old antique furniture.
Well, this time he had picked up a... He'd been over to the... He's going to close his pump in, just like
yeah,
I said.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's over to the dump place. And somebody come and sewed off the roof to a metal house. And he just put it on his car and brought it on over there. And I went out there and we looked at it. Well, it was about twice as long as it needed.
Yeah.
But I guess he could cut it off. Well, anyhow, he had the stuff there.
Well, I see him. Yeah, there was somebody over there, and I see that they done something. They've got a building over the top of the pump house there.
Already? Well, you see, I just talk about it, and he goes ahead and does it. I said to him, I understood Mr. Eastman was building a wash house up in there somewhere, and he just pointed over there.
Yeah.
I went over there and looked at that wash house, Mr. Eastman. That stuff... Is that inch plywood?
No, that's half inch on the side. It's half on the side and 5/8 on the roof.
Is it just half? Well, half is good, nice stuff, isn't it? And that's what she wanted.
That comes from Scotty's down there. See, that's half inch. Exterior plywood that's good on one side. One side is sanded, see?
Yeah.
And one side is just as smooth as that table set.
Yeah. Now, what are you going to put a...
You're just going to paint that outside. See, I put the smooth side out, and then they can paint it.
Just plain old paint.
Well, now, I was over there this forenoon, and I put shingles on the roof on that one side, on the upper side.
Yeah.
I'd have had them on the lower side if it hadn't rained this afternoon.
Yeah. Well, that's a nice thing. I looked inside.
Yeah. It makes a nice little...
You got the concrete floor, and then your concrete block runners there. That's nice.
That gets it out of the boards up so that they don't rot out like they do on the bottom down there.
Yeah.
Now I'm building down here right next to that Seven Oaks place. You know where that is in McIntosh?
Yeah.
Building it's an enclosed porch. And I tried to get him to let me lay a row of blocks around, see, and then put the wood up like that. Well, now, he said, I'll tell you, that's going to cost more money. He said, that'll cost more money, he says, and I want to get out of this just as cheap as I can. And she said, hey, you ought to see him down there, by God. And he had that old fellow that, well, he lives up in Brantford, Ontario, Canada, but his brother to Betty McCoon, Johnny Hopwood, his name is. And he got Johnny to come up there, and geez, they was going to rush me putting that siding on one thing and another. Hey,
save money on you?
Huh?
And save money?
Yeah, he got Johnny up there.
You get in with some. It looks like a lot of these people you get in with down there want to save money.
I get into some of the darndest messes that ever was. I had a funny one here one day. Well, let's see. It was, I don't know, about a week ago. Down to Mrs. Hagee's, down at the fish camp.
Yeah.
She wanted a shut-off put in the line that goes to her house so she can shut the water off as she goes away. All right. She thought the pipeline come out there. Well, we dug down. We didn't find no pipeline. And over here a little bit farther, we struck a line that goes out to where they used to have a vat for minnows and stuff, see? And we come along. We struck this pipe and we dug along on it there and thought we'd strike a T there somewhere. See, that went under the house. Couldn't find a thing. And I come right along on top of the pipe and come right along clear over here somewhere. And needed, here was an elbow on and the pipe went down. All right, I dug down there and about a foot farther down, here was another pipe that went this way and this way here. See. Right plumbing under this other one. About a foot. Well, I followed it along out here, and I got out here, and sure enough, there was a T on there, goes this way, and it goes this other way, and comes down to the fish camp there somewhere. See? So then I dug down in there, and on this line it goes towards the house, and cut that in two down there, see, and put in a valve, and couple of nipples and a union in there, fixed that up. But geez, now she didn't know that there were two pipes in there. And she said that she was right there when they put that piping in.
Well, what good did the two pipes do, Mister?
Well, there must have been that one pipe that come in here, see, and went on out there. And they took it apart over here where there was a coupling in there. They took that coupling out and put a T in, see, instead of coming on over here somewhere. They come back to where this fitting was, see? And then they put a T on there and come up, and then went this way.
Oh.
Went right along the same ditch with it.
Oh. You never would have guessed that, would you?
Yeah, no.
What was that I was saying? Mr. Palmer, He looked avil that morning I saw you down there. Did he that way much?
No, not too much. They was after him pretty heavy down there, and I don't know, that's... what happened, the water pump went bad. In that same house, the water heater don't work in. The element had burned out in the water heater, but I guess that they haven't hollered loud enough to John... to make John understand about it, but he's got to get an element to put in there, the water heater, well, the pump. Oh, I went over there, and you know, most of them Berkeley pumps, you can just take the top part right off, the motor and the top part of the pump, and leave the base right there, see, and put this other one right on. Well, now, there was both of them three-quarter horse, the new one and the one that was on there. But you know, the old one that was on there only had an inch hole in the bottom. see, for that impeller to run in. And the new one had 1¼". All right, so geez, I see that wouldn't work. Well, I have before now. Took the impellers off and just changed the impellers, see, and put them right back in there. Well, geez, I couldn't get that off. So, well, then I said, geez, I'll take the old base right off. Well, when you come to get that off in the pipeline, the old one there had an inch and a quarter pipes on it. And the new one had 1¼ and 1½, see? Well, geez, I had to go over to Johnson and get some bushings to put in there, and then I had to get a new piece of... It had a piece of hose on there, see? You take a screw, one nipple in up here and one here, and you slide that hose on up and down and put a clamp on, see? And it makes it so it don't get no noise.
Oh,
of course, your suction pipe right there is a solid, goes right down. But your pressure line there, you see, then it goes down around this other pipe. So, geez, I'd get over there. Well, then I should have got an 1¾-inch bushing to go in the new pump to go onto the pressure tank. But I didn't, but I had one of them in the truck, so it turned out all right. So when I got over to the store, I told Johnny he owed me one of them, so I went and got one. John says, well, go back and get you one. Well, I said, that's what I intend to do.
He don't get rattled very much, does
no,
he?
No, not too much.
What'd he do? Just have too much on him there?
Yeah, geez, there's a lot of them after him. And then that, did you see? No, I guess you didn't see him. There was a fellow in there. Now, he lives around there someplace, and he's in the Johns a lot. Now, I don't know who he is, but I guess he's got plenty of money. He drives a Cadillac car, and he's always dressed up. And I walked in down there, and Jesus, he run right over and got his arm right around me. Come on, Art, by God, I got a job for you. Well, now, wait a minute, I got too many jobs now. Well, my roof is a leaking, he says, on that porch, and I want it tore right off. The whole porch, he said, and a new one built on. Well, I said, I can't do it now. And I broke away from that, and he didn't like it. And John didn't like it because he was trying to get me away over there. I don't know who that guy is there. He's always wanting something done.
Yeah. You mean all them important people hanging around, John?
Yeah, geez, a lot of them moneyed ones hang around there.
Well, he got to Seattle. I heard him talking. He was waiting on this colored woman, and she calculated. He gave her the bill, and she must have looked at it, and he'd added up wrong. And he looked at it. He says, "Well, I did. I made this mistake." And he seemed like he's still rattled.
Yeah.
You know, anybody make a mistake.
Yeah.
And I never heard anybody accuse him of making mistakes on purpose.
No, now you know, I'll tell you. They holler about how stingy John is. He got all them houses over to Anthony, and he rents them for $52.50 a month, and he could have 100 out of them just as easy. All he got to do is ask it.
Is that right? 100?
Gosh,
all them other places around there are renting like that.
Yeah.
But now John says $50 a month is enough. Now that's as good as old John is. And by Jesus, a lot of them bellyaching how stingy he is, one thing and another.
How did he get Ms. Reynolds? I talked to her one time.
Who?
Ms. Reynolds. She works in there.
Yeah.
That lady. You know her?
Yeah.
She gets over at 7 o'clock in the morning, Mr.
Yeah.
Isn't it? And she stays till 6 o'clock at night and cooks dinner for him.
Cooks dinner? Jesus, he gets over there in the morning and they come there and cook his breakfast. And then they cook dinner there and they all eat.
Yeah.
Well, then, Jesus, along about 5 o'clock, they all eat again.
Mr. Eastman, at the store?
Yeah.
And he eats breakfast over there?
Sure, right in the back part. Next time you're in there, you look back over in that... that back left-hand corner, as you're going down in, look over in there. They got a stove and everything over in there, and sink where they wash the dishes, and everything over in there, sure.
What do you know? They just fix for a living, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Let's go down there for Miss Deesman. Somebody gets after. That's, let me tell you, what I was going to say about Mr. Palmer, he got them Berkeley pumps. Well, the first time this one gets out of whack again, when you took it off, and I took it over there, they charged me $31.
Yeah.
You can get a new pump. And it's been on there a while, and it never had been any good. You know, it loses its prime. A half horse is enough over there, isn't it?
Well, it might be. I never was too stuck on a half horse pump.
Three quarter? You've got more confidence than three quarter?
Yeah, there's quite a lot of difference between a half and a three-quarter.
Yeah. You don't know, have any idea how they sell.
I don't know what John does get for them. Jesus, I've put in a lot of new ones, too, but I don't know what he does get for them.
You don't have to worry about that part of it.
You take John, when I started in there, you know, he had a lot of different kind of old pumps on. Jesus, I took just about all of them off and discarded them, put on new Berkeley.
Yeah. Well, that's my trouble out here. I took just odds and ends, you see.
But you know, taking with John on them places over there, just a minute there's anything wrong over there, you know, he wants it fixed right off, quick and right in good shape. And you let a family move out before somebody else comes in there, you know. Jesus, he wants that all cleaned in there and all. If it's dirty, he wants it painted and all put right in A1 shape before somebody else moves in. He's awful particular on that.
Mm-hmm. But even so, that's pretty long hours these days for somebody. Yeah. He'd have a hard time replacing some of that help, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
You see over at these horse farms, they get the, they make more, a lot more than he pays.
Yeah.
And they work about half the time.
But you know, I've been over there, and these, I've done a pile of work in all them places over there. I've put new floors in, and I've painted them inside and out, and put new wiring in, and put in bigger entrances in there, and put in the freezers, and everything else in there.
Oh, at his place?
Well, different places that he owns over there. And there's his own place, you know. Indeed, I've done a pile of work in there.
Yeah.
And you know, his mother's 100 years old.
Yeah. He had that clipping down there.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't think about the time. I thought about it afterwards. If I'd had that, I could, the first time I went down, I'd get Xerox, you know. And he can give it to all his friends.
But you know, I sent her a birthday card. And I wrote on the inside of it. I'll try and tell it to you just as I wrote it. As a reward for your what do you call it there? When you do for your own family? Can't think of the word I want to say now. Devotion.
Yeah.
I said, as a reward for your undying devotion to your family and your many acts of kindness to your friends and neighbors, God has seen fit to give you an extra long life. That this may continue for many years to come is the wish of the Art Eastman family.
That was nice.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now, you ever talked to her?
Talk to her? Well, geez, about every time I go over there, I have to go in and see her a few minutes. I'll tell you, she's, looks quite a little bit and built like and acts like what my mother was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And she talks well?
Well, she talks all right. She's getting so that, well, she can't see too good.
Mm-hmm.
And her hearing went, and they got her a hearing aid. That is, hearing went bad some, and they got her a hearing aid. So she's a nice old lady. So I got a nice Christmas card back from them today.
Well, I don't know how he keeps helping there, though, for those long hours. That's something. They must be devoted to him.
Yeah. I was down there. You remember the day I was talking to Ms. Eastman and you come up? And I just stand there. What I'd ask about was where you was working. I thought you was working over there at Ms.
Huff's.
She was in the hospital.
Yeah. She just got out.
Yeah. She all right?
Well, she ain't all right. Geez, you know, that woman looks to me just as if she's had up for cancer. She might not be, but by geez, she looks it to me.
She's up and around?
But she got that color to her, you know.
Yeah.
And she lost 10 pounds in 10 days.
Well, she's got this little girl holding down the post office.
Yeah.
That's all they need. That's about a 15-year-old's job, and the post office, all they've got to do. This man that runs the restaurant down there, Broward?
Bernard.
Ms. Eastman was saying he nips a little too.
He's what?
He nips a little too.
Oh, God, he nips too much. Yeah, he gets cockeyed once in a while.
And he just like Clyde? Is it Clyde? The man that works there?
That was George.
George, yes. Maybe that's the reason he a little easy on George.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you about Barnard. A lot of people don't know it. But Barnard was in the Navy, and he was on one ship, and they were trying to tie another one to it. And somewhere their ropes got tangled up in one thing or another, and they got around his foot and got around his leg up here, and that rope come down, and it tore a lot of the meat right off in his leg, see? Well, he was in the hospital for a long, long time, and he's supposed to wear a brace on that, see, because, geez, a lot of the meat is gone right off in his leg, and if you ever notice, he's lame, see? Well, now that gets pain in him sometimes, something wicked.
Yeah.
And that's the reason that man goes and gets drunk.
Oh.
You see? Now, I can see through it, but a lot of them thinks that, oh, geez, he's just an old bum. But, you know, I've known a lot of people in my lifetime there that got in pain, and when they did, they'd go drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just what's happened to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, they called me over there at the restaurant one day. I went in the kitchen, and here sat Barnard just about like this in a chair.
Humped over. There.
And I went over and I said, Claude, what's the matter? He said, I'm drunk in hell. What do you say? He's in the headman by six tailwinds. Well, I said, what you need is a woman with a rolling pin. I said, straighten you up. Well, I don't know. I talk too damn mean to that fella when he's drunk, you know, because I can understand why he drinks.
Yeah.
And he probably doesn't hold it against you at all.
But you know, no. I was over there one other time over there, and Claude was drunk Jesus, and he'd spew down the floor, and they was cleaning it up, and she was trying to get him over to the house, you know. God, she was half carrying him, see? And I said to her, I said, get a rolling pin, I said, and Jesus, and help him along. And so he kind of looked up, you know. I shouldn't say such things to that poor old fellow like that, you know. But, you know, yeah, I can understand that he drinks because he's in pain. Now, that's what there is to that. Because I know I had two or three darn good friends up north that had been in the war and got hurt and one thing or another like that, you know.
Yeah.
And geez, when they'd get pain in the beat all, that's what they'd do. They'd go get drink, go drinking.
Yeah. Well, it don't do any harm if he, you know, if he don't get out there and get a gun at somebody,
yeah,
like,
well,
George. George got pain?
I don't know about George. I don't know anything about him, what gets him going, but Jesus. He hasn't been around there for 3 or 4 days. I don't know where he is. Somebody thought maybe he was off on a spree.
Well, how did they get the cooks?
Huh?
Who gets the cooks?
Well, she does, I guess.
Oh, I see.
And then Louise Borick, she gets up in the morning and goes and gets the cook the first thing in the morning.
Uh-huh.
She has for a long time.
Is your daughter still here?
Well, the daughter, I think, is living down there at Reddick. And the son-in-law has gone to Miami to work.
I'm talking about your daughter.
Well, my daughter's still down here, yeah.
And your son-in-law is still hung up there.
Well, he's supposed to be here today or tonight.
Well?
Whether he'll make it or not, I don't know. They've got an awful lot of snow and fog on the road.
Yeah.
According to the weather report.
Oh, he's driving.
But he couldn't get loose up there. I guess he had a lot of that equipment and stuff.
Well, but he had a lot of work up there that he got started and hadn't finished up, and he wanted to go back up and get that finished up. See, he'd been putting in barn cleaners and what they call milking parlors. You know what a milking parlor is? Jesus, they drive the cows in the barn, you know, and put these milking machines on them.
Yeah.
All right, and the milk goes right into a pipeline, don't go into any pails like we used to have. It goes right into the pipeline, and goes right straight through into them stainless steel tanks.
Yeah.
Well, then the milk goes into them tanks, and the tanks have got refrigeration around them, see? That cools the milk right down and holds it in there. And then there's a big tank truck comes right there and gets it.
Yeah. And that's the tank. That's the cow parlor.
Yeah.
Well, where'd he learn all that? A heavy equipment man.
Huh?
He was a heavy equipment man.
No, he was a Cadillac and Pontiac expert mechanic.
I heard you said he was a heavy equipment man.
No, not him. No. My brother works on the road there and uses all that heavy equipment and one thing or another, but now this fella here, he went away to school, learned that Cadillac business, you know.
Yes. Well, how'd he get into the cow parlor business?
Well, I don't know just exactly how he did come to get into that there. There was a friend of his there that wanted to put in a cow parlor and one thing and another, and they got together and they found out where they could buy this stuff wholesale. And
they could get it in.
Yeah, so he went putting that stuff in, see? And,
yeah.
Yeah.
He had some up there that he didn't have finished up. And,
that's, you know, that's something. That's something. I miss my calling. I wish I could do something like that. Everywhere you go, you see, they'd be glad to see you, Mr.
Yeah.
That's something. That's same way with him.
Well, Mr. Eastman, golly, I'd rather see Mr. Eastman come than anybody
yes,
I know.
I'd rather see him than the big man. But,
well, we slide over and stop and see that woman, and I'll slide along.
Yeah.
You got a little money?
Huh?
You wait till he comes back with that light.
Though. Okay.
Channel 2 right, beginning to visit Mr. Eastman this Tuesday afternoon, the 21st of December, 71. Channel 2 right, around 800, and the end of the visit with Mr. Eastman this Tuesday afternoon, the 21st of December, 71. Channel 2 right, around 700 or 800, and the end of the visit with Mr. Eastman this Tuesday afternoon, 21st of December, 71.